word of God, the scripture that becomes cliche to you, will lose its power for you. Now, I'm going to clarify. How many know the word of God doesn't lose its power, period? But for you, if it's just cliche, it's just something that we repeat, there's no meditation. How many know that Psalms 1 says if we meditate it in day and night, we'll be like a tree planted on by rivers of water. We will bring forth fruit in season. Jesus said in John 15, man, I'm flying all these scriptures. You ought to be writing this stuff down. I ought to hear pages flapping and pencils are going. John 15, he said, I desire that you bear much fruit. How many in here desire with him about you that you bear much fruit? Fruit in souls, one to the kingdom of God. Fruit in walking out your calling. Fruit in trusting the Lord of the harvest. Prayer sown for grandkids, finances sown into the kingdom of God. All of these things bring with them for the believer a harvest. For he is called, one of his names is, the Lord of the harvest. Come on, shout it out, the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. Amen. If you're new with us here this morning, we want to welcome you once again. You know, if you've been with us here more than two or three times, we call you family. And if you've been here more than two or three times, then you've heard me say this, and I'm going to say it again this morning for that one or several that may be new with us. We deal with money and finances in this church just about never. And I've been threatening for the last 2 months. I'm not afraid to approach the subject, but I want to sow plenty of seed, prepare the ground enough so I don't have anybody that can say, they're another one of those churches, and all they do is talk about money. This is why I've taken the time, aside from money, to talk about seed, time, and harvest. How many are getting that thought, that Bible principle, that Bible seed, are getting that down on the inside of you? Listen, you can trust the Lord of the harvest that when we take His word and put it to the test, it works. How many can agree with me here this morning that the Word of God works? What about the rest of you? How many can agree with me this morning that the Word of God absolutely works? Now, the devil will always remind us of when it didn't. How many know that it never doesn't? How many know that we can abandon our crop? How many know we can stop watering it? It says that Abraham considered not, he had a promise from God, you're going to have a baby in your old age. His body effectively was dead in reference to reproducing children. But God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. You, I call the father of nations, and through you and your seed after you that will be like the stars and the sand of the sea, through you all nations will be blessed. Yeah. I wonder how many different nations we have represented in here today in this little gathering right here in Chino Valley. How many Polacks we got in the place this morning? I was looking for Wanda. I knew you'd raise your hand. I didn't see your mom. Oh, we had the most awesome. How many Czechs we got in here? We got any Jews? Jewish people? Isn't that awesome? How many Scotsmen? Excuse me, I'll get myself in trouble. Scotch is a drink, they tell me. I'm a Scotsman. How many Irish we got in here? Oh, for the Irish. Huh? Any Russians? Africans? Huh? How about Mexico? Huh? Portuguese? Who we got? And now I'm going to get in trouble for all the ones that I didn't mention. You get the point. They're a racist church. They only called out the... No. My little baby sister that was born and raised in Honduras is married to a Mexican. And what a tremendous man of God. he is, and excelling in all that he does. So we're not racist. I was raised in blended families, and I love the church we were involved in Florida for a lot of years, helped start in a living room, just like here, House of Prayer International. It's probably 80% Puerto Ricans, Cubans, Hondurans. I don't know who all is there now. Hispanic and black, and then a handful of white people. And miracle of miracles, isn't that true, Ryan? And miracle of miracles, I was working there for years and years, full-time cowboying, and in the deep south, in a church that was, no exaggeration, 80% Hispanic and black, we had a row of white cowboys. You want to see a leg grow out? There's a leg growing out right there in front of you. Miracle of miracles, because of the love of God. Isn't that awesome? And how in the world did I get into all that? Aren't you glad for the blessing of Abraham? What was he speaking of? Through Abraham's seed, our Jesus would be manifested by the power of God through the virgin birth. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin." That is amazing, the sin of the world. Jesus, speaking of himself, said, "Unless the grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies and remains alone, unless it dies." He said, "But if it dies, it will bring forth what? Much seed." Pretty awesome. How many are blessed with Father Abraham this morning? You know, if you don't know it, if you're in Jesus, if you've ever made a profession of faith with heart belief that he is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, how many know that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus? Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly," are you listening to this? "Exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think." So if you're new this morning, we're going to be speaking of these things now. And seed, we're going to tie seed to finances. How many know that you can change the look of your garden? It was tempting a few months ago to talk about this because internally we were struggling a bit. I've learned the hard way, you don't talk about money. You don't talk about the struggle when you're struggling. Believe God and talk about something else. Talk about the love of God. Talk about the grace. Talk about anything, but don't react and talk out of fear and desperation. The Lord's taken good care of us, and he's taken good care of you. Amen. Are you here today? And we have more to do. So this morning, we want to help tie that together for you. You'll notice that we don't, if you're new with us, we don't take up an offering. We've got a box in the back. We consider that as part of your worship. There's a lot of stuff. I'm not going to spend any time. You may be disappointed. I'm thinking about possibly doing a workshop or two on a Sunday night where I can go into depth about where I sit in reference to the tithe. But there are a few thoughts that I want to, before we get into the main part of this, that I want to get across to you. If we are adhering to an old covenant idea of the tithe, old covenant meaning under the law, and we believe that if we do a strict 10% by the law that we obligate God to bless us, how many, you know, right now, I already said it right out of my mouth, and as you heard it, maybe for the first time in a long time, something doesn't feel right about that statement. Not in Jesus. Malachi 3, we have under the law, the prophet, God is speaking through the prophet, and he says, "Wherein have you robbed me? In your tithes and offerings." And then he says, "Because of this," and I'm paraphrasing, okay, just moving through. He says, "Because of this, you are cursed with a curse." That's pretty heavy. Now he says, the antidote to that is, if you'll be faithful in this, if, everybody say if. If you'll be faithful in this, I will do a couple of things. I'll do several, but here's the main ones that we know and remember. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven, and I'm going to pour out a blessing upon you, such as you are. Now listen, right now I'm waiting. I'm in alligators up to my waist right now. The worst thing that could happen is for me to be misunderstood because I'm not taking the time that I should. But there's a reason why I'm talking about what I'm talking about. The worst thing I could do, and for all of a sudden, people to just so-called get free and stop being involved financially. And let me tell you enjoy the air conditioner in here today? You like the lighting? Sound? Do you want to see this go more? In fact, we have a need right now, and I'll let you know because I've had people asking. Right now we have our young people in here, Verge, because we've been asked by the fire marshal. By the way, we were graced with great, great favor. They could have really pulled the carpet out from underneath of us. As you know, the fire, both the fire authority and medical authority of Yavapai County changed. It's no longer handled here locally. It's handled out of the main department in Prescott Valley. The lady who came out and did the inspection could have really swatted us. Instead, what she did is stood and talked about her new... I was that morning, the Lord's... I was nervous about the inspection here because there's a lot of unfinished things. We just quit. I believe with all of my heart, you're to feed the sheep, not beat the sheep. So I don't beat the sheep and I don't fleece the sheep. We feed the sheep and we believe that God will provide. God's will, God's bill. Are you here? But I was nervous because there were some things for different reasons we just quit on. If the money's not there, we're going to have to just move forward, trust God, take it a day at a time, etc. Well, that morning I'm sitting in my barn in the pickup, cranked it up, and I'm sitting there. And, you know, you got to understand, ministers may have a special anointing. You know, there are people that are graced with a great anointing in reference to the prophetic and end times. And other people that are graced with great anointings for evangelism and healing and miracles. And there are others that are graced with this. And then there's pastors and there's teachers. And we know all the fivefold ministry gift mentioned in Ephesians 4, etc. But let me tell you something. Not one of us, and I'm not separating myself from the pack, but the separation is obvious. If you're called to pastor, there is a difference. Hello? How many know, though, the difference is simply in a gifting to minister? I don't have a special grace or faith to live it. I got to live it every day just like you. If you cut me, please don't. I bleed red. I deal with the same temptations, the same struggles. They're all relative to where we're at in our growth, in our maturity. But how many know there's always another higher place to reach for? And I'm so glad for the grace of Jesus that whenever I seem overwhelmed by what I'm not, I can look at Him and realize I'll never be that. But in Him, I'm all that. For He is in me. That's why Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you." Yeah. That's pretty amazing stuff. So we're anointed, but you know what? I can stand up here and preach it, and the anointing of God come in and say things to you that I didn't even say. I've had people come up to me and say, "Man, Pastor, that changed my life when you said that." I'm thinking, "Man, I didn't say that." I mean, we got to trust the Holy Spirit. Some of you have held back in talking to people because you think, "Well, I don't know the word like Pastor Lee or Sister Sally or Brother Joe or whatever," and you've held back. Listen, if you'll just open your mouth and use what God has given you, you will be blown away by what the Holy Spirit will get to their ear. Everybody wants to argue about Acts 2, whether they spoke in other languages or not. I think it's silly. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 14 that when a man prays or sings or whatever in the Spirit, his mind is unfruitful and nobody understands him. Nobody. period. That means that tongues is a supernatural submission to God and a flowing of the gift that is given to us through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But the miracle is not so much about what's coming out of your mouth. The miracle is in the childlike. I love what Isaiah says. He says, "For with a stammering lip and another tongue will he speak to this people." Stammering lips don't sound real pretty or dignified. But the Bible says when this is going on, 1 Corinthians 14 says that something supernatural is taking place. Acts 2, it says, "For they heard." I believe between the utterance and what they heard, there was a miracle. And God certainly will use that. I know of a situation in right there with our own ministry in Honduras. A lady that was going to our Bible school. Uneducated, simple, down to earth. Man, she got full of the Holy Ghost and on fire, and she was attending a particular church. There was a little bit of a break in the worship, and she stood up and began to give with authority and utterance in other tongues. When she did this, you know, we Pentecostals, we got this little cookie cutter box that we want to put all this in. I don't have time to go into that. Amen. Preach it. But there was a Chinese couple that was there in their 70s. The parents of another Chinese couple that ran a Chinese restaurant in town, former Buddhist. Mom and dad were Buddhist. They twisted their arms to go to church that morning. True story. I know the people personally. When she was done, all the fear of, did I do the right thing? What happened? Was that me? You never know when you're obedient to God. The next thing you know, there was a scuffling. And that older couple from China, who didn't understand anything that was going on, they were just there with their kids, ran to the altar, hit the ground, and began to cry out. The kids got there and they began to interpret. They said, "Who is that lady? She speaks our language perfectly. She told us things that nobody else could know. And today we recognize that Jesus is the true God and we need to receive him." San Pedro Sula, Honduras, La Betania. Or not La Betania, excuse me. Now I can't think of the name. It's the German Reform, La Reformada. When you open your mouth to speak to somebody, in your own self, given your testimony, trusting God, listen, trust the fact that God says, if you just in your own way open your mouth, it is amazing what God will do through babies. Psalm 8 says that he's ordained strength through the mouth of babes. Sometimes it doesn't even make any sense. I'm so glad we don't have to have it all together in a bag of chips to make a difference in the world, to sow seed. Aren't you glad for that this morning? All that was free. It has nothing to do with this morning's message, but somebody needed to hear that, so it had everything to do with this morning's message. So, all that to say, I'm sitting in the barn, and Mr. Shaw, who can preach it good, is fearful. And I hear a word come from the Lord that is almost audible. It was humbling. It was rather humiliating. It was a little embarrassing. He said, "Ask me for favor." What a novel thought. I preach it for months on end. So I felt rather silly as I repeated the words out loud. "Oh, okay, I ask you for favor." The lady that shows up, new Christian, sees what we're doing. loves what's taking place. He said, you know, we've made two churches in Prescott Valley take down their pretty boards like that. Fire hazards. She said, I think it's beautiful. You guys keep that in here. Don't get me in trouble. I think it's beautiful. We won't worry about that. But my God, when she got over to the youth room, what a disaster. She said, I'm going to write some things down. These are going in my personal file. Pastor Lee, could you do me a favor? Let's not have anybody in here until we get the holes closed up and some of the electrical finished and taken care of. So that's why Verge is in here with us today, but it's not going to stay that way. I figure for less than $3,000, we can get everything we need up, everything redone, lighting, painting, floor, the whole deal. Now, we can do more. We need more than that. I'm talking about the very, very basic stuff. And we'll present that as we move along. But to get an area over there that would be a type of fellowship hall, can be used for a number of different purposes, kind of take the pressure off what's going on here. And there's some things that are taking place. But where we can get that fixed up where it can be used and also be used, right now our youth are suspended from youth midweek. You may not be aware of this. Our children, that's why they're in here with us this morning. I'm not begging. I'm not pleading. I am laying it out there. You can believe God with me just like I got to believe God and let it be taken. That is just the mere beginning. There's a whole lot of potential over there in that building. I don't know if you're aware of it. It looks like a wreck, but it is a 50 by 90 building with two full commercial bathrooms in the back. You remember Arturo's restaurant? There's a lot that can be done in there that can help our purposes. But right now, and the reason I mention it is we have an immediate need for this. A perfect opportunity when talking about finances to be led of the Lord in being a blessing in that area. Can you say it? You all right with that? Yeah. It's so fun to be able to say that without sweating. Years ago, you had to sweat it. It is what it is. God will provide. I'm laying it out there. I'd love for our kids to be able to be in their own setting and to move forward in an area. By the way, I don't know about you, but it embarrasses me. I mean, Ryan and Esther have been so gracious. We have new guests come, and I just shudder every time I think of anybody going over there in that building to get their kids. I'm like, my God, Lord, blind their eyes. We'd like to fix that. Amen? But how many are thankful for what we do have? Isn't this awesome? Isn't this awesome? And great things happening. So I said all that to say our obedience in giving is important. But here, let me go back to where I started. I'm already in Gators now, up to about here now, so I may as well move forward. If you are giving a legalistic 10%, in order to leverage God to bless you, you're living under the old covenant. If you are giving to avoid a curse, you're living under old covenant thinking. Fear. If you believe that you are cursed with a curse because you don't, you're living under old covenant thinking. Here's the big one, and this always surprises people, because this is the one they hang on to, because I don't want to be bothered with too much knowledge and stuff. Just, God, you take care of it. I'll just live, and you, it's your will, whatever your will is, and you just take care of it. He said, behold, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Another place he says, behold, I give unto you power. Are you with me? James 4 says, submit to God, resist the devil. You, turn to your neighbor and point out and say, you resist the devil. Who am I? Let me tell you, who am I? I'm a child of the Most High God. Because of faith in His obedience, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. There was a divine exchange. My righteousness, which was filthy rags, in exchange for His righteousness, which makes me. Holy and pure before God, as far as God is concerned. It also makes me different than Abraham, for Abraham was considered righteous because of faith. You and I are made righteous because of faith before God. On your worst day of struggle, if your faith is in Jesus, I don't care what the religious world says, your righteousness before God has been established forever because of your faith in the one who got it right for good. My faith is in the obedience of Christ, not in my obedience. Now let me tell you something. If there's no obedience in your life, I doubt seriously that you really have faith in Jesus. Or at least a desire. Right? So I'm not saying, you know, people all the time when you talk like this, wait till we hit grace here in another few weeks. Hang on to your seatbelts. But I will show you in Scripture. At what point do we believe what God says, that your salvation is by grace through faith, not of works? Now, it does say that we were created in Christ Jesus, preordained by God to produce good works as a result of this faith. Are you with me? But I'll tell you who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if you put your faith in Him, you are too. Very glad for Jesus this morning. Seven of you. Here's what I was getting at. If you believe that because you tithe, a legalistic, strict code of the law, 10%, that the devourer will be rebuked for your sake... Now see, this is the, all the others, everybody, amen. When you get to this one, they're like. You're living under old law. For today, I am, you are, the blessed of God because of Jesus. Jesus has become your tithe, the difference. The tithe is just like the circumcision. Abraham experienced both. And there were types and shadows of what was to come. This is like majorly dangerous stuff for a senior pastor. I don't want to be doing church in a tent in the parking lot, people. Just stick with me. Now, what the original intent of the tithe was worship. You study the book of Genesis, I'm not going to get into right now, but where it all began, Abraham did what all heathen kings do, by the way, if you study history. He gave 10% of the spoils. Except there was a different series of events. There was one called Melchizedek, king of Salem. A place called peace that would later become known as Jerusalem. This mysterious figure, Hebrews even speaks that way, appears from nowhere and shows up with bread and wine. The Lord's Supper? Communion? And receives tithe from Abraham. It's the only time that we know of that he did it. The law took that and made a lot of things, put a lot of things in it and added a whole lot of things to it, the way it was conducted. But the original purpose and now the restored purpose of any tithe or any giving is a form of worship. When we worship with our, and I'm going to use the word tithes in this context. I'll take time at another time to explain more what I'm talking about. When we worship God with our, let me just hit the whole thing, put this roof over it. When we worship God in our giving, our worship is complete. And all we are doing is trusting that the Lord of the harvest takes our seed sown and causes it to exponentially reproduce a harvest of blessing, Again, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh just enough to get by. It maketh rich, a full supply, and it adds no sorrow with it. That means that when I pull a lever in Laughlin, having wasted $100 on an if, I've sown into the world system which produces a curse. Not God's curse, not a curse from God. It has its own curse. Sin carries with it its own curse. All right? No longer from God. Every curse was fully satisfied, the scripture said. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ. Are you here today? Let me know what he did. Became a curse for us. He who knew no sin became sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, so that we, supernatural divine exchange, could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:13, 14, and on, you can read it yourself, says, he who knew no sin, excuse me, that's 2 Corinthians 5:21, Galatians 3:13, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ, having been made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree, so that the, here it is again, the blessing of Abraham. Come on, are you here this morning? The blessing of Abraham is for every believer. Now, most believers don't know that. Lord, whatever you want. And he's looking at him going, man, you got to get into my word because it's not what I want. I've already done everything. What do you want? Are you finding out? Are you tapping in? Are you looking at the treasures in the word of God? Are you trusting? Supplying your need is just the beginning. But unlocking sources of wealth to be a blessing is a promise that is, the word of God is replete with that. But if the devil can lock you in and say, your garden can only be this big, you can only have potatoes and corn, no flowers. We don't want to be proud here. No color, no smells, just the basics, just meet the needs. God's, I'm telling you what, the Garden of Eden was lavish. Anything they needed, anything they would, on every level was already prepared. All they had to do was receive, take. Paul, challenging the Philippians, he said, my God shall supply all your needs. That's the beginning point. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, is speaking to the hearers and he's saying, look, the world, he used the word Gentiles because that was the separation then. Speaking to his own, he said, the world is worried about what they're going to wear. The world is worried about what kind of a roof they're going to have over their head. They're worried about what they're going to eat. And he draws the comparison of the lily, how she's clothed, and the birds, how they're fed. And not one of them falls except the Lord doesn't see. And he says, don't you know that your Father in heaven cares about you and takes better care of you than that? If you'll just trust him, he said, here's the secret. Matthew 6:33. Somebody needs to write this down. Move this from a buzz term and from a cliche verse and let this be a seed sown in your heart this morning. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, they're kind of automatic. You can use your faith for other stuff. You can use your faith for seed planting. Trusting God that what he said is true. How many love Jesus this morning? I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I don't even know why I'm excited right now. I'm just excited. I preached me happy, even if you're mad. At another time, not in here, I'll show you that there are reasons why the Lord entrusted some things to us. I'm not going to do it. There's no way I could do this on a Sunday morning. We never see tithes stop. We never see no place where it quit. But I'm going to challenge some of you in this morning. Because under the new covenant and in the New Testament, nor do we see anywhere where a legal strict code of 10% continues. Paul had the perfect opportunity in pleading. Boy, now I'm in alligators up to my neck. Paul had the perfect opportunity in 2 Corinthians 9 to say, come on, guys, you need to get it together. The law says. He pleaded with them on the basis of a new covenant. Now, I got a question for you. I got to quit this because I got to move into some other stuff. But I got a question for you. If all the law was types and shadows of that which was to come, if under the law these things were done in exchange for blessing, how much greater then is what we have under the new covenant? And should we do less than a legal benchmark that was a type and shadow of worship to the King of Kings, who now is our eternal tithe before God? Every debt was fully paid in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Should it not be an old clay, black and white benchmark left far behind as our hearts rejoice in our participation of the kingdom of God? If you can get free of the law, you'll do more than you ever did under constraint. Paul said, God loves a cheerful giver. He says, don't do anything. Do you know how many people tithe legally out of constraint because they're afraid if they don't, they're going to be cursed? And if they do, they can extract a blessing. When my Bible says under the new covenant, Ephesians chapter 1, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. 2 Peter chapter 1, everything that pertains to life and godliness has been freely given to us through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you take this knowledge and you say, because of grace, I'm free to, you're in another form of legal code. You're not free at all. That's called selfish. That's called short-sighted. That's called not understanding what the kingdom is all about. Hey, I'm doing a better job on this tithe thing than I thought I would when I wasn't planning on doing it. How we doing? Whew. Malachi 3. There's only one part of that verse that still applies to you. And it has nothing to do with the law. It has to do with the heart of the Father. And that is, if you trust my process, I will dump blessing on you that you can't even imagine. That has never quit. The only thing that quit, according to Galatians 3:13, write it down, is the curse. If your faith is in Jesus. Now, he did say in Galatians, he said by the Spirit of God, or rather the Spirit of God said through him, that if you yourself take yourself and put yourself back under the law, there will be a process that looks like the curse, and it will come back, and you will operate in that thing and pay the consequence. But it's no longer the curse from God, for God's curse was fully satisfied in Jesus. Read in your Bibles, Colossians 2:14, Ephesians, write these down, Ephesians 2:15, both say that everything, that all the handwriting of ordinances and all of that, that was against us, was nailed together to the tree, together with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are free from the law, serving Him in newness of life. What about Hebrews 7, Pastor Lee? It's not about tithe. It's about comparing Jesus to a priest named Melchizedek and saying, hey, Jews in Jerusalem, this guy that you're on the fence about is much greater than Melchizedek. All right, now. Holy schmoly, Leiford. I have an obligation as what I feel is truth revealed. And I live that and I believe it and it's working. If I hide it, because I'm worried about who will leave or who will stay or who will misunderstand, I'm a hypocrite. And you don't need a hypocrite for a pastor. How many have areas in your understanding of the word where you haven't quite landed the airplane yet? But how many of you, if you dared to raise your hand, then it shows me your heart is towards God. How many are looking for an airport? You're not just flying around. Oh, aren't you glad for Proverbs 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him, and He'll find an airport for you. In the meantime, the stuff I don't understand, when I get a little bogged down, I can run back to Jesus and say, well, I don't understand all that, but I'm learning more about who You are and how much You love me. And I can hide right here, right now, till the confusion passes. This one thing I know. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. You know where that is for the believer? Hidden in Christ, Colossians says. In God. Whew. Aren't you glad for that today? Now, if you're new to all this, the reason I'm taking the time is because if I ever deal with seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping, and now that we're touching a little bit on finances, going to move into a little bit more, I want you to walk out of here encouraged, knowing that if you don't like the way your garden looks right now, you can change it. The Holy Ghost, His great grace, helps us do some weeding and some softening and some uprooting, and we get to plant new seed and trust that what He says is true. One of the beautiful things about New Covenant seed is that it produces quickly and exponentially. Now, I want you to turn me in the Bible to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And we'll spend the few remaining moments here. Are you getting anything out of this? I want to make clear, I didn't tell you to stop tithing or start tithing. What I told you was, if you're doing it according to a legal code, it's not doing you any good. I know people that do tithe based on their knowledge And they believe, they've embraced the whole legal code thing, but their heart was right. And even under that auspices, how many have done that? Even under that auspices, they gave out of a heart of worship, and God honored that seed and has blessed them miraculously through the tithe. But it wasn't the tithe, it was the heart, Paul says, that made the difference. Would we do less under the new covenant than we would under the old? I'm very glad the curse is removed. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 6. Now, we spent some time on this a few weeks ago from a little different approach. Today, we're cutting to the chase. Right here, the context is money. Can everybody say money? Turn to your neighbor and say money, money, money. That's what we're talking about right now. Money, okay. Verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word. How many are being taught in the word? What about the rest of you? I hope you're. How many are being taught in the word? Okay. Let him that is taught in the word communicate. This is King James gobbledygook for give. Money. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You know my heart. You know me. I'm not about all that, but I have to share what the word says. Because if you embrace what the word says, you'll climb a little higher. Or maybe a lot higher. Don't look at me like that. Look at this. In all good things. That is the context. So Pastor Lee, that's pretty bold. Oh, really? You think that's bold? Turn to 1 Corinthians. Hold your finger right there. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Now, my heart is just like Paul's. Paul was using biblical principles and saying, hey, we're given this way. You ought to be given this way. Which I'm so glad we have a church that you look around at who we have in here numbers-wise on a consistent basis. We have givers in this church. It is amazing, as we've stood and proclaimed God's will, God's bill, through thick and thin, the way that God has taken care of us. And how many times have we done a mid-service, extra service, and beat the sheep over the head about money? Never. Paul's heart was, I have every cause to say what I'm saying, and yet my heart is, I don't need anything for me. I want to take what's going on and cause the kingdom to advance. But he is also the same guy that reminded them of the Old Testament, which said, but at the same time, it's not right to muzzle the ox. So if sometimes you get mad at me and I look like an ox, it's biblical. And others who serve, don't muzzle the ox that treads the corn. He says here in 1 Corinthians 9, an interesting scripture. I'm not going to take time for the context, but it's all there. I mean, he's literally imploring with them in reference to finances. He says, if we've sown into you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? He's speaking of the reciprocation of giving and receiving, trusting the kingdom process of bodyhood, of family, and of the expansion of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ in whatever community we're in. We in this day and age like to talk about world evangelism, and I was raised in a missionary's home, and I love it. But many times we use that as an excuse for not evangelizing next door. I believe it was Brother T.L. Osborne. I may be wrong on that. The statement, though, I've never forgotten. He said, the light that shines farthest, let this get on the inside of you this morning. The light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. These kids that are in here this morning with us in Verge, that's the very basic beginning of where we should be. Now, do not hear this as, boy, Pastor Lee's just really unloading. No, I'm talking to all of us, me this morning. We can trust God together. But how many know if I don't deal with these things sooner or later, I'm doing you an injustice. For this is the Word. Not me. Not my twist. I'm not taking something and then letting it kind of be a principle to weave into something else that I'm trying to get across. This is black and white stuff. Okay? Now go back to Galatians chapter 6. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Are you ready to shout? Somebody in here like, yeah, anything but this. This is uncomfortable. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, some of you, and you've been around here long enough, you're whooping. Others are going, because you heard a message that was completely inverted. It robbed the blessing of God, turned a scripture that is to set you free, and made it a club to beat you over the head with. You've sown some seed in your past, and by God, you're going to reap it. For those of you that are stuck in that legalistic mindset, I want to remind you of something, the way that all seed time and harvest works. You don't sow a seed. So if we're going to look at seed as a sin, you don't sow a seed and reap a seed or two back. Tom is probably, I know a lot of cowboys and ranchers and whatnot, but here in our area and certainly in our church, he's the only guy I know that is a true farmer. That was his whole life. That was his family. And Tom can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt, you sow a seed in the ground, you don't reap one or two. You reap many. Even in bad conditions, you reap a whole lot more than what you sowed. Think of that in the light of a legalistic mindset that says, under the law, quoting the men of old, sow to the wind, reap the whirlwind. This is all under the auspices of the law. That means that if we're going to embrace an idea that whatever you sow, you'll reap, you're taking seed time and harvest, you're taking a context, you're taking a theme, a biblical theme, and you're applying it somewhere it doesn't belong. For seed time and harvest is about the blessing of God. Every part of it from the very beginning, it became skewed. But seed time, when you speak in reference to the Word of God, certainly under the New Covenant, the original theme, it was all for the blessing of man. Joseph Prince said it better than anybody else I know. Now, he may have got it from somebody else, but I love it. It answers it. It may not fit perfectly in every part of the pattern, but it explains well the difference. The world speaks of a type of sowing and reaping. We commonly know it as karma. It has its roost in Eastern demonic religion. It follows a theme that is very true. You've heard me say it a lot. So stupid, use that term lightly, so stupid, get stupid. But what that really is that's not biblical sowing and reaping. It's the world's idea of sowing and reaping under the law and in the world's system. God's system of sowing and reaping is about our blessing. That other that they call karma is not really sowing and reaping. Now we're speaking as believers under the light of the new covenant. That is called consequence. How many know there are consequences for behavior. If I were to walk up here and just slap Richie right across the face for no reason at all, I'd hate to know. He probably withhold himself. Maybe he wouldn't. I don't know. You would. But you wouldn't have a few years ago. I'd have been laying there. How many know there's consequence? You go sleeping around with people you don't know? There's consequences. You fall prey to the world's way of thinking in reference to finances? There's consequences. And consequences are usually more immediate. Consequences are different than sowing and reaping. And for the first time, some of you in here, I want you to see that in this is not a threat, but a beautiful promise that God is faithful to His Word. He just said, the context is, you give liberally to those who teach you the Word. Now, this is dangerous territory because you can interpret this as, oh, Pastor Lee's wanting more money. If you know me, and if you don't, ask. But I still got to show you the Word. I believe that a congregation, and you do, that takes care of their leaders, lives at a higher place of blessing than those that don't. It's sad when Pastor Appreciation Month comes and goes and nobody says anything. I know pastors like that. Doesn't happen around here. I at least get a card and a pen and some little token or something from, help me, Becky, I'm drawing a blank. Sisters, this is embarrassing, huh? Sunshine Sisters and Becky. Pastor, you're a blessing. I got a sandwich card one time. And there are other things. I mean, people, you have been such a great people. So this is no reaction to anything. What I want you to see is that that's the context. The reason I'm telling you that is not for my benefit, for your benefit, so that you can see that in that context, that's what the next word is supposed to be. This has nothing to do with, woo, the harvest is coming. Your Navy days? No. No. Aren't you glad for a new plan? I'm thankful. I've watched it over and over again. Men in prison who gave their hearts to the Lord begin to believe God for the favor of God. They deserved yada, 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 yada. But God somehow blinded a judge or made adjustments or did things, and today they're in ministry when they ought to be on death row. This isn't a threat. This is a promise. Be not deceived. This is one with a huge smile. The loving Father saying, I'll watch over the harvest if you'll trust me in it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This is not sin. This is us believing in and giving to the King, to the kingdom purposes. When we gave to Kim and Danny, those of you that were able to do so, don't you ever just give and forget. I don't have time today. I was going to go there. But Mark chapter 4 says that there's a man, the kingdom of God is like a man who goes and sows a seed. And night and day he gets up and he goes and look. That's a man who planted expecting a harvest. And Jesus said that's a good thing. When it comes to motive, we should give with the right hand without letting the left hand know. That means don't go brag to everybody what you did for mission. Keep your mouth shut, sow it in the kingdom, and watch what God does. Did you sow to impress men, or did you sow because you believe that what God said is true, and there's a harvest coming? How many know there is a harvest coming? It comes in increments. You've planted seed along the way. Today we're talking about money, but keep sowing the word. Speak to that grandson, to that granddaughter, to that daughter. Speak to them in the Spirit and call on Philippians 2:13 that we talked about last week and tell them in the Spirit, for it is God that's working in you both to will and to do. Sow seed. I started a point a while ago and the Holy Spirit just brought it back. Abraham heard the promise and considered not the deadness of his body, but believed the promise. How glorifying God. He was giving thanks when it looked stupid. There was a seed in the ground. In this case, a seed in Sarah who laughed. But he considered not the deadness of his body, but gave thanks, glorifying God. He watered the impossible. Let me tell you something, people, about the Word of God. Let me tell you something about spiritual seed. Something right now, a foregone conclusion that might have gone right over your head, is God just tied in his Word money with seed. Did you see that? Not a slick-haired preacher on TV trying to bilk you out of your 2,000 so you can have a double anointing. How double anointing can you get than the anointing of Jesus on the inside of you? Don't give a dime to those rascals. Pray for them and bless them in Jesus' name. And ask God to open their eyes, bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. I get so tired of it. I watched it again this morning. I'm shouting, liars! I had to get back in the Spirit so I could preach this morning. This made me mad. Shysters. Abraham watered with thanksgiving. God tied money and seed together. That means you don't have to tuck your head or feel like you're doing the wrong thing or your motives are wrong. You can sow seed and expect a harvest. Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Here's something else that you need to know this morning. You might want to write this down. Pastor Lee, I just don't understand. I've looked at this and you don't need to understand. The seed knows what to do if you'll get it in the ground. God made it that way. It knows what to stink and do if you'll just get it in the ground and water it with blessing and thanksgiving and trust. It knows what to do. It's designed that way. It's a locked secret that the best scientists known in the world today cannot figure out. How can something die and come to life and produce exponentially more? That's why there is a Lord of your harvest. Some of you need to receive that this morning as a word from God right now. Come on, are you here today? Say it out loud. He is the Lord of my harvest. That's not being selfish. That's called humility and faith. Say it out loud. He is the Lord of my harvest. God has no problem with retroactive faith either. Whoo, I gave a lot of years out of constraint for the wrong reasons. But today, Jesus, I repent. And I trust that all that I sowed my heart was right. Now I'm claiming a harvest. Do you feel like we're cutting into a perfectly seared ribeye? Covered in garlic and shallots, soy sauce, a little paprika, sugar. What'd I do? Huh? You're going to mute the button? Are you hungry now? Your brain turned off. Big baked potato, butter, sour cream, chives, bacon bits, cheese. Yeah, I'm cooking all right here now. I made myself hungry. I'm like, my brain just went. I got to find somewhere to finish this up because we can pick this up next week. You get the seed in the ground. The seed knows what to do. You don't need to know everything. Just get it in the ground. Is your garden a wreck? Are you embarrassed at the way it looks? Are you worried about what the neighbor's seeing over the fence? You need to get free of other people and comparisons and all that stuff and know that the Lord of the harvest, by His grace, will help you begin to make some adjustments and plant seed. He who is the Lord of the harvest, you can turn that thing into a beautiful place for the blessing of many. This is exactly what Jesus finishes up in Mark chapter 4 when He said, a grain that is no bigger than a mustard seed, when it is planted in the ground, grows and becomes the largest of trees where the fowls of the air come and rest. Would you say a statement of faith, some of you in here that are struggling? You got bills that you're like, every time you think about it, it's just white out. Would you extend your hands high and say, Lord, I'm doing some repenting this morning. I'm trusting your processes. I believe you are the Lord. Come on, say it out loud like you mean it. I believe you are the Lord of my harvest. I thought it's been through getting, but I'm finding out it's through giving. As I trust that seed sown. Hallelujah, Lord. If this ever becomes about money, we're in trouble. But if we keep it where it belongs, about the heart and trusting His promises, it's no different than any other kind of seed that you sow. How many sow the seed of effort to get in your car and go to work when you got a headache because you got to pay bills? It's amazing how in the slavery harnesses of man, we'll do, by God, whatever it takes to get to work and to work for that miserable cuss that we hate, to extract another buck. But don't you say anything about money in church. I know, that even felt a little too effeminate, but that's what it looks like to me. Now I got to walk extra manly to make up for it. Okay, so. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that will he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. We've always heard, if you sow to sin, it is hard, but sin is never blah, 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 blah. What? It's like the Christmas story, you know, when the dad cusses. What he's saying is, hey, I love a steak. I really love it right now. In fact, I'm having a hard time keeping my mind where it belongs right now after me sharing that with you, okay? But I eat a steak. We're in church, so I got to be delicate, but you know where it ends up. you sow to the flesh? How many bought a new car ever before? How many figured out it's one of the worst financial decisions you could ever make? One third of the price drops as soon as you bump the wheels off the rubber curb of that dealership. But all what we'll do for the new car smell. It's what's the matter with a lot of church harpers. They call it looking for a place where we're fed. Really, they're looking for a new car smell. Where was I at? You sowed money to that car. But sooner or later, one scratch on another and stuff wears out, and before you know it, you're dealing with mechanic fees, and mechanics, they're just like, I'm not saying that. We got some good mechanics in here. Sow to the flesh, you love the flesh. This is not some major, you rotten, dirty. Sow to the flesh, you have the flesh, reap corruption. That's the way it is. If your goal is, I'm going to take care of me and take care of business, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and so that I'm taken care of, that's called sowing to the flesh, and you're of the flesh, you will reap. I mean, you can do your 401k and be a good steward. It all it takes is one disaster or one illness to wipe all that out. Now, do you know how to trust God? Paul said, I've learned to be content. Abounding or abased? Content. He's not saying content with poverty. That's not even in the Bible. What he's saying is that in that, I'm not letting my future be defined by where I'm at right now. It's a picture of Joseph naked on a slave block, headed for the top position in the world under a man named God, Pharaoh. He didn't know any of that. But in that time, it says that he was blessed, for the Lord was with him. I want you to know this morning, if you're in Jesus, the Lord is not only with you like Joseph, but he's in you. He is in you, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now unto him that is able to do where we started, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Be not deceived. Be happy. God will not be mocked. He's watching over the seed. Don't turn your back on it. Don't abandon the field. Water it with worship and praise and thanksgiving, for he is the Lord of your harvest. He that soweth to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, I don't have time to go there today. I'm done. You can look at it yourself. We'll look at it next week. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, he, the context is money. I'm going to show it to you. It's fun. It's really fun. You're going to see where Paul, in very practical terms, chides a church about their lack of giving. I'm glad we don't have to do that here. But we do have to share the word here. Okay? So it'll be fun. Come ready. Paul literally says, you guys are doing awesome in almost every area but this area of giving. I'm going to leave Titus with you to teach you some stuff so you can come up in this grace too. In the Bible? Yeah. But then he makes some more incredible promises. He gets to chapter 9, and this is what we'll look at next week. He gets to chapter 9, and he says some very interesting things. He says, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He's not saying God's going to get you or God's withholding. What he's saying is God's laid the table out. Now what are you going to do with it? He's freely given it to you. He's empowered you. He's done everything. He's saying, trust me. But he's not going to go do it for you. How many of you would feel very uncomfortable if you came over to my house and my 24-year-old muscle-bound son Levi, who's in Phoenix today, Hillsong's Church, You were to come over to my house and I had him sitting in a high chair and was feeding him with a spoon. You'd feel rather uncomfortable. Especially if everything else seemed normal. You'd be like, what in the blazes is going on here? I'm out of that church. Somewhere we got to feed. What are you going to do with this great blessing of, hey, I'm content in that where I'm at right now, I know He is my Lord. But in the light of promises, I'm not content with staying here. For I've been promised glory to glory, higher and higher, harvest rolling in, bread cast upon the waters, Solomon's words about the ships of old that he would send out seeds into other kingdoms, and the ships would come rolling back in with great wealth. And that is likened to our promise in God that as we trust Him, it's so awesome. Aren't you glad for fresh starts? I am. I need them on a regular basis. I'm so glad that Hillary may not have understood a restart button. And others, it's not picking on Hillary. I'm just saying that's the big news. But there is a big red button, the blood of Jesus, that affords us a restart. About you, but I want my garden to look a little different over the next year or two. He says he was made poor so that you could be made rich. In the next chapter 9, he says he that sows sparingly reaps sparingly, but here's the last promise. He started with the lowest point, and then he ends. But he said, here's the good news. He that sows bountifully will reap bountifully, and he'll give seed not to the eater. He will give seed to the sower. That's next week's point. Got to stop right there. How many are glad for Jesus this morning? Sitting right where you're at, nobody moving around, nobody looking around. Would you all bow your heads? You're hearing this, but man, you just need somebody to add agreement. Jesus said, if any two of you should agree, that's why we have our prayer team up here. This is why they're here, as we stand in agreement with you and believe God together with you for great things. As we're dismissed and as we continue to worship, know that the altars are open. As our prayer team comes to help, I will remain here. If we could move our visiting to the lobby and allow time for worship and people receiving a ministry in the building this morning. Amen. Have you been blessed today? Do you have something to take home with you? Father, over your people, we declare your blessing. We declare, come on, say it with me today, our confession of faith, our seed of faith is that I am the blessed of God. Come on, shout it all over the house. I'm the blessed of God, blessed with His favor. Hallelujah. Made rich for the blessing of others. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. Have a wonderful